Hallelujah.
He is Lord. It's something we say quite a regular thing. It trips off our tongue. He is Lord, He is Lord, He's risen from the dead, and He is Lord. But you know, sometimes we don't live like we've really got a head around that, how much Jesus is Lord. So this morning, we're going to look at a subject that is something we're all very familiar with. Something we've all experienced. It has touched us in different ways as we've gone through life. Sometimes it has broken our hearts. Sometimes it has caused us fear. Sometimes it's caused us to question what we're doing. And it is probably one of the most significant issues that everybody who's ever lived has ever considered. Because we're going to be talking about death. Okay? Doesn't sound very cheery, does it? But the fact is, all of us have to consider death. It's happened to the people around us, and there's times I know within my family, we've had recent experience with Dennis passing away. He died and went to the Lord. And that wasn't ever a problem for him. But the pain of death is always that sense of loss. But we've all had different experiences of this through our lives. And yet we walk along in our lives at times not even thinking about it, not having it as something to make us realize that this day is a gift. The fact is, we're only here until we're not. And you never know when that's going to be. We've just heard that somebody we know who's very close to us, we'll share who it is over the next couple of days once everyone else knows, was battling cancer, has just been told it's back and it's here with a vengeance. So the whole concept of death is always around us. Now, I've got a straightforward question for you. Death, does it bring you any fear? Okay, now, I don't have any fear at all. I don't fear death in the slightest. I'm not saying that I'm particularly pleased if it's an unpleasant transition. Okay, nobody wants to have a difficult death. But the concept of being dead, for me, is no problem whatsoever, because I understand what this is. You see, this is your opportunity to grow a great soul. Okay? This that you're experiencing now, that every day that you get up and you have your breakfast and you do the everyday stuff that you do, is an opportunity for you to grow a great soul. Okay? Now, the Bible, when it talks about a soul, it talks about a human being. So it's both physical and spiritual. So it's what you do with your life that is what you are creating that is going to be planted in death. Now, the clearest way I can get is to explain, is to read to you in where Paul talks about this very specifically. Okay, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a little bit of a long passage, and I have talked about this before, so if some of this is familiar, that's quite good. But I'm trying to get maybe to a deeper point so you can really take hold of this. He talks about it in a really unusual way. Now, Paul talks about death quite a lot because he sees it as being something that really should focus your mind as to what you do with the now. And as you know, Jesus did that too. When he said to his disciples that they should take up their cross and follow him. Okay? So take that picture. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, for us, We're not used to crucifixion as an everyday thing, but for Jews living in that area at that time, how often did they see a man with a cross? Quite often. Okay, and what did they know about a man who was carrying a cross? He wasn't coming back. Okay? He wasn't coming back. So when Jesus said to them, take up your cross and follow me, what was he saying to them? Live your life as though you've already died. Yeah, if you've ever seen any kind of war movies, Band of Brothers was one where this was said. The sergeant will shout at them, you're already dead, go. Why did he say that? So that they would run forward and not be cowering and not be fearful of what was happening. They would just run knowing they had a task to do. Jesus says to us, take up your cross and follow me. So the whole idea of dying to yourself and your plans and your thing is all central in what Jesus is saying. But what Paul is telling us is something that can really help us understand why we should live a valuable life. Okay? Because sometimes see when you're making your cereal in the morning or when you're buying the messages in, it doesn't feel like you're doing anything heroic, does it? Right? It just feels like everyday life. How can that possibly be building towards what I'm just going to explain to you in Paul? Okay, so 1 Corinthians, and we're going to start from verse 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised, and what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. Now, he's talking about seed, and that's obvious, you can think about it. If the seed stays as a seed, it'll never become anything else. It has to become something different, okay? So when you plant that seed, so that's the concept he's going for. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or perhaps other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another kind for animals, another kind for birds, and another kind for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is another kind. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. And each star differs from another in its glory. Okay? He is talking about this in a way to show you that when you die, the soul that you've grown is planted in death, and we will not all see the same resurrection. Okay? Now, this may be a startling fact for you, but what you have grown in life, what you have put into this growth of this soul, will actually have a consequence in your death. If you know Jesus Christ, you will see a resurrection to an immortal body. But one will not be the same as the other. Okay? If you ever think, why should I give everything to Jesus? He is telling you now that it's not going to be the same. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. What is sown in dishonor is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, and I think we can all agree, we've all got one of those, thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, that's Jesus, a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spirit that is first, but the natural, as we are now, and then the spiritual. First the man was from the earth. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man was from heaven, and that was Christ. As the man of dust, so also are those us. We are like Adam. And as is the man of heaven, also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, and we all bear the image of the man of dust now, we are like Adam, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Okay? So we, just as Jesus was when he was resurrected from the dead, so we will be. Okay? So, you know, you have these pictures of people who've died and gone to heaven and they have little wings and they sit on clouds. Okay? Anyone ever seen those? Okay, I've got bad news for you. You're not getting wings. Okay? The Bible does not say that you ever get wings. Okay? A harp, I can't say. There will be physical, a spiritual, physical reality. So, yeah, maybe we'll make harps and maybe we'll do what we do. But the thing is, a human being is a physical thing. Okay? You never become a spiritual, ghosty thing. When you get resurrection, you are resurrected to a physical body. But it's not a physical body like this one that can die. You will be resurrected to a spiritual body, but it will be a physical thing. I know that sounds kind of crazy. Okay? But we know when Jesus was raised from the dead, he appeared to all of the disciples. We know he appeared to about 500 people in total. Okay? And they touched him. And what did he say to Thomas, who was doubting? Feel. Put your hand in my side. Feel me. I am real. It's very different from when Lazarus was raised from the dead, because Lazarus was just raised back to the body of dust, because Lazarus went on to die. Okay? Jesus, when he was resurrected as a physical being. Now, we know, if you read Revelation and all that, you are raised and we will live together and we will live on a new heaven, a new earth. It will be a place of no sin. And what I'm trying to get you to see here is the life you live now will have a consequence to your resurrection. Paul says, I put all things behind me to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I live my life with a purpose, knowing that I will gain a resurrection based on how I live my life. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And I'll go back to that, because what plans does a man with a cross on his shoulder have? None. His plans are gone. His plans are finished. But what we're told is if you take up your cross and follow Christ, you come into your true plan. You come into who you are meant to be. And if you do your everyday life, and again, if you look at Scripture, do you ever compare your life to the people in the Bible, these kind of great saints of God who do these things like raise people from the dead and do the... Do you often sometimes think to yourself, well, I'm nothing in comparison to that? Yeah? Is that a common... Do you know how much everyday life went in between these moments in the Bible where they did something amazing? How many everyday moments in life happened? A heck of a lot more than you actually have recorded in the Bible. You look at some of the great men and women of God, and they cooked a lot, they ate a lot, they did the everyday things of life, okay? And you see, when you move and you go to third world countries, you start to realize that the everyday life things are even more everyday than the everyday here. Okay? You've got to think about the gritty things of life. A lot of that happened where nothing was happening. You look at the life of Moses. Nothing happened for decades. Did he give up his relationship with God? No. He got into a different mode of serving God. When Jesus did the miracles that he did, was there any everyday life that he had to go through? Yes, a lot more everyday life than there was miracles. But that's what I'm trying to get you to see. Your everyday life is as much an offering to God as those great moments. Those difficult times when you're struggling through, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, those difficult times, they're as much an offering to God as the times when you're praising God and worshiping, or you've just shared your faith with somebody, or you've done something for somebody that you obviously know is the kingdom stuff. There is nothing that isn't about your soul growing before God. Every day, you are offering your life to Jesus. And one of the most powerful things you can do in the morning, okay, is pray, of course, but is just to say to God, I'm dead to me today, Lord. I'm dead to what I want to achieve and whatever. I'm going to live for you. Help me do that. And that's the simplest prayer you can pray. And yet, it puts your life in the right focus. It means that every everyday thing you do is as unto the Lord. Paul, it's interesting we're talking about fasting today, and Nikki was sharing what's happened in her life. And you know what's really funny is I remember Nikki being a gobby little madam. And she'll agree that that's what she was. Right? I remember once just having a conversation with her and thinking, oh my goodness, what a gobby madam. Okay? One day, she realized her importance in God. One day. My goodness, what a transformation in that woman. I mean, Phyllis, what a transformation in your daughter. True. But she's a gobby madam for the Lord. God doesn't change your inherent characteristics. He just takes hold of them and brings them into being. And that's what I'm trying to get to see. If we are willing to die to our own intentions and our own play, because we know that we will have a resurrection, because we know Jesus died for us and he rose from the dead and our death is certain in Christ, we have nothing to fear. If you have chosen Jesus Christ, if you have accepted in your heart that Jesus is your Savior, you have nothing to fear. Take hold of that. You have nothing to fear in death because you're sorted. He who started a great work in you will take it to conclusion. Jesus has got your back. He's got your ticket. He's holding your title deeds in his hand. You are his. But you see, that should have an effect on our everyday life. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see today. Jesus wants your everyday life. Because he can take your everyday life and chip away to make you the gem that he wants to bury in death. He wants to get you ready so that when you come to your death and resurrection, it's going to be the resurrection that he planned for you. Today, very simply, if you can say, Jesus, I believe you died. I believe you were resurrected for me. If you can take hold of that and believe it, your life is now safe in the hand of God. When Jesus came to Lazarus's sister, she said to him, but if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And he went, yeah, that's right. But he said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe it? And she said, I believe it. Okay? The key thing to hear is today, for you, if Jesus says to you today, I am the resurrection and the life, do you believe it? It's a simple question. Do you believe it? Because see, the moment you do, you have passed from life to death and from death to life. You've accepted Jesus' death, and that means that you have accepted your own end. You've taken up the cross. You've given up on your own plans. In Romans chapter 12, many of you will know this scripture. It asks us to be a living sacrifice. Okay? Living, though sacrificed. It's a weird thing. He's calling you to live, but the sacrifice that's on the altar is dead. And what he's saying in that is you should live for God. Live with it, live for him in the big moments, but live for him in the little ones too. When Paul talks about fasting and eating and the food kind of questions. I saw something about Nikki, then I got distracted. Nikki was talking about the joy of not eating. Because see, if you don't eat regularly, if you fast before the Lord, when you eat, you're also aware you're eating. Okay? And you do that unto the glory of God. You eat a meal unto the glory of God. You don't eat a meal unto the glory of God. All of a sudden, when you become active in your life, you do everything to the glory of God. You get up in the morning and thank him for that. You go to sleep and you thank him for the day. Your whole day starts to become as unto the Lord. And that only comes when you've taken up that cross, when you realize that your death is your life. Your death in Christ is your life in this world. Your soul starts to grow in a different way. Paul is trying to help you see that what you plant in death will be resurrected to eternity. So let us invest in the soul that God has given us, in this life that God has given us, and let's take up our cross, follow Jesus, and enjoy this coming week looking for the ways in which we can serve God and we can grow our soul. That might be we make a decision to be more gracious with somebody. We may forgive somebody. All these little things that we do are perfecting the soul that God has given us. We each have our own journey. Why do some people live a few months, a few days, a few hours, and some people live hundreds of years? That's their journey. That's their call. You are in your journey to find Jesus, to do what he's called you to do, to grow a soul that will be planted in death. Don't look at what any else has got to do. Just consider your walk before God. Take up the cross and follow him. You're going to get it wrong. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have to give things to him. But you know what the great thing is? He is perfecting in you his reality, his truth that he died that you might have. So, you're going to have struggles. And I know in this church there are people who've got struggles. Okay? They're overcoming illness. They're overcoming aches and pains. They're overcoming serious illness. Go through it with Christ. Take hold of it and embrace it as what God has given you to overcome. And God will perfect in you the soul that he wants you to plant in death. God has got a purpose for your life. Okay? God has got a purpose for your life. And it's yours, and it's unique, and it's precious. And you will see a resurrection to an eternal body where we will live together in a way that we can't even conceive of now. An eternity with Christ starts in your life with him today. Take up your cross and follow him. Father, I want to thank you that you have a purpose for us. The Lord, that we don't need to fear death, because death is just continuation for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you hold us in the palm of your hands. And we ask, Lord God, that you would give us the wisdom and the understanding to know how we walk out this work with you. Lord God, we thank you that we are surrounded by so many who are walking with us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with the confidence in life that we have certainty in death. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you went ahead of us and still you go ahead of us. We thank you. Glorify your name. Amen.